If you think about the evolution of a brand, you might want to think of it like it's a river, not a pond. So you've got to keep pace with the currents. And what I see is this paradox for brands. The more things change, you have to change to be consistent.
Helping you create loyal customers and loyal employees all through the power of simplicity. This is the Simple Brand Podcast, now heard around the world, including Aylesbury, Buckinghamshire, England. I'm your host, Matt Lyles, and this week I'm talking with Derek Day. Derek is the managing partner of The Blake Project, a strategic brand consultancy that helps businesses gain an emotional advantage, a distinctive advantage, and a connective advantage, moving them from brand awareness to brand insistence where there are no substitutes. Derek's led the brand strategy effort for a number of respected brands, including EA Sports, FootJoy, and Wyndham Hotels. And Derek's the founder of Branding Strategy Insider, an online publication to help marketing-oriented leaders and professionals build strong brands. It serves 60,000 marketers daily, and it's recognized by Advertising Age as the leading online resource for brand strategy and management. I've got a pretty serious question for you. What would the world miss if your brand went away? I know, we tend to think our brands are pretty safe. We think our customers love our brands and couldn't imagine life without them. But, like a lot of things, there's a significant gap between what we think our customers feel and what they actually feel. In fact, according to Havas Media Group's 2021 Meaningful Brand Report, customers wouldn't miss about 75% of brands if they went away. Ouch. Listen, it takes a lot of intentional planning and work to build a brand that customers can't imagine being without. And, spoiler alert, that work does not start with your logo. Thankfully, Derek helps explain just what goes into building a lasting brand that connects with customers and keeps them for the long term. And these lessons help, whether you're first starting out or whether you've been around for a while and recognize the need to evolve your brand. So here it is. Here's my interview with Derek Day. Hi, Derek. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Glad that we're able to make this happen. We connected not long ago and have had some fun conversations, and we realized with all the insight that we were sharing with each other, it'd be a good idea to have you on the show and actually hit the record button with this.
I wish we'd recorded those earlier conversations, so hopefully we can pull something out of those and bring it into here.
I took notes, so I've got them for my benefit at least. You launched Branding Strategy Insider over 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, 17 years in June. And for folks that are just hearing about that, that's a resource for marketing-oriented leaders and professionals. And in launching that way back in 2006, the idea was really about how can we create the best resource for marketers to help them make better decisions? It was not about how can we create the best sales platform, because we felt like if we get this right, the sales part would follow. And so We've invited a lot of thought leaders in to contribute there. There's thousands of thought pieces there. And most of the people that have been legends in marketing or are making big strides in our field today have contributed there. I'm really proud of that. And I reference it often. There's a teaching moment in everything that you read on that site. And I'm always going back to those older posts and saying, oh, I remember now, refreshing what we talked about, because a lot of it is evergreen content. So you can still use it today.
Well, and to me, that's one of the great things around brand strategy is that a lot of the lessons are really foundational and evergreen. There are a number of things that tend to stay the same. But I'm curious, in the years that you've been over it and the visibility that you've seen, how have you seen brand strategy evolve? And what are some of the things that have changed? And what are some of the things that still remain the same?
That's a great question. Jack Trout of Trout and Rees, who actually coined the term positioning in 1969. And I was fortunate enough to work with Jack. He was a mentor of mine in early 2000s. So I did get a chance to learn from him. I kind of follow a little bit of what Jack shared at that time. And he said the concept of brand positioning is even more important today than it was back in 1969. That's because the level of competition has risen. But what's changed since then? And of course, just a quick refresher for us, positioning is about creating this unique value in someone's mind, but as a fixed position in the mind. And what has changed since that concept was created, and even since I think of what we've seen over the last 10 years in brand positioning, as we see it now, not really a fixed position, we see it more as a direction. If you think about the evolution of a brand, you might want to think of it like it's a river, not a pond. So you've got to keep pace with the currents. And what I see is this paradox for brands. The more things change, you have to change to be consistent. That's, I think, a major change in brand strategy work is thinking along those lines and also understanding that brands are never finished. So we may do this great strategy work together today. It may be the most amazing thing, and it may resonate in the market, but the work is never finished. You've got to keep coming back because things are always changing. They're evolving. Lots of people say brands are living things, and that's true.
To me, that makes a lot of sense, especially when you realize how customers' lives change and like what all is being introduced to customers, what customers are expecting, and how their expectations are changing. And so if a brand holds a position in a customer's mind, I don't think that it can hold that position unless it changes and stays on that same trajectory, that same transformation that customers go through.
Absolutely right, Matt. You triggered another thought. When we look at brand strategy, and there's a couple of usual suspects like your target customer, but the two that I think are important to talk about here, one is brand essence, and that's the thing that never changes. Brand essence is the heart and soul of a brand. So Starbucks would be rewarding everyday moments. That's for internal consumption, right? But when then we get down to that brand promise work, that's where you're headed, Matt. Promises are going to have to change over time because people need more from you or they expect something new from you. That's the part that will change. While the rewarding everyday moments for Starbucks, that will always be part of who they are if they do it right. And one time they got it wrong and they changed that. And I know this is kind of an older story, but 10, 12 years ago, they changed that. They brought in new management and they decided to move to soft seating and dilute the customer experience. They ended up closing 300 stores and bringing Howard Schultz back. Once people really get to know who you are and certainly like that, you don't want to change it. So that's where that brand essence comes in, because it keeps people on brand.
It's that brand essence that when it's communicated the right way, when it's trained the right way to the entire workforce, then that brand essence, and I think you even said that it's really more of an internal stance, like for people to know internally, that brand essence can act as a lens. It can act as a filter for every decision, every action that every employee makes.
Right. It is the ultimate lens. Even letting your vendors know what your brand essence is a good thing, because they're out there also helping you fulfill the promises that you're making. Certainly a lot of all sophisticated brands have done that work, but it is surprising to see well-established brands at times that have not done that, have not thought that through, which is, you know, why this industry is so important. There's lots of people to help. There's lots of people that are just trying to figure it out. Everybody is trying to create more value, and people are expecting more value today than they ever have been.
And sometimes when the brand leaders create and craft that essence, sometimes it's really the wrong essence and they look at it from the wrong perspective. They don't look at it from an evergreen perspective, recognizing how technology can change, how customers' lives can change, how expectations can change. There are a number of companies where they created their brand essence around the specific thing that they were delivering in the moment. And then 20 years later, realize that specific experience, that specific product is obsolete, out of date.
And that's a big mistake, right? Strategy is about creating future value. That's really what strategy is. But you have to go into that understanding that key point that what we're doing now has to work for today and be flexible for tomorrow. Certainly, sometimes you have to dramatically change from what you were in the beginning if you're going to survive. But for the most part, some of that you can bring along some of that early idea with you. But just thinking, Mac, you know, to your point, thinking about how we can create value that stands the test of time. How are we going to do that? You've got to be really intentional about it. You've got to step back and I think also just be a big picture person and say, hey, I don't want to just think about this for 3 to 5 years. I want to see what can we create that makes us a 100-year brand. Think in those terms. And it takes big ideas. You got to start with big ideas because reality will shrink the idea down anyway. So if we start with little ideas, we're always going to end up with something little. Just the common sense there, but that's where imagination comes in. I know on this show, I know the name Starbucks has come up, I'm sure a million times. Howard Schultz, the entrepreneur that had a vision and lots of imagination. That's the part at the top that you need is that imagination. And it's got to be something that everyone can see themselves moving towards. And sometimes I think people get disconnected and leadership teams get disconnected from the magic that created everything. And the imagination is kind of, I think, in some ways, the glue that holds it all together.
Right.
And I say that for B2B businesses too. Everything is driven by emotions. We know that reason leads to conclusions, but emotion leads to action. For brands, it's not enough to be loved. You need people to buy from you. So you need the action part of this. That's where you need to take it. In customer experience, that's where we see the action come to life, right?
And I think it's that relationship between the brand essence, which should be crafted in a way that should stand the test of, you know, at least a long duration of time, 100 years would be ideal. It's the relationship between that essence and then the brand promise, which can and likely should evolve over time. I think a brand promise should evolve based on customer expectations and then even based on your own capabilities as well.
Definitely, you know, but how? A lot of people would probably ask us, well, how do I do that? And I think you have to walk around your business and look for what I call like access points into the truth. You have to be in possession of the truth. There's a couple of moving components to the truth. There's what your customer's thinking about themselves, you, your competition. There's what you are thinking about your own business. And at times there's what your brand consulting or agency partners thinking about. What can they lend to this? But you have to make an honest self-assessment and you have to be able to put your whole business on trial for its life and not be afraid to say, this is not going to get us there and move away from it. And that's hard work, especially when we're really invested in the work we're doing as marketers. And even as leaders, we get emotionally attached to what we're working on. And then when it comes time to say, you know, that brand in this portfolio is not performing and it's time to spin it off or let it go. It's hard for people to do that, even when the numbers are there. But that's what you have to do if you're going to continue growing. You absolutely have to keep looking back and say, if this is shrinking, that means it's not creating the value it once did. And you're in business to create value, right? You want to create more value than anybody else. So you've got to keep that lens in place so you can make the best decisions.
You do have to make the hard decisions because you're not just talking about a campaign. You're not just talking about the next quarter or the upcoming fiscal year. You're talking about the long-term life of your brand. And so you do have to be able to make some hard decisions around that. We've gone into a number of aspects of brand, like whether it's brand essence or brand promise. And I know over your career, you've had a number of clients that you've worked with. And with that variety of clients, I'm sure that you've seen and heard a range of different definitions that marketers and brand experts give for brand. But I want to take a step back for a moment just to help everybody else out who's listening in I want to understand from you, what's your definition of a brand?
Well, that's a great question, Matt. There's over, I think now 15 accepted definitions of a brand. This doesn't happen.
14 of them are wrong, though.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, in our field, unfortunately, this kind of makes everything fuzzy. This doesn't happen in medicine or law, but we hear brand as a promise. I like that definition, but I think a more accurate definition is that it's sum of all experiences a customer has with you. It's a totality of everything coming together to form this image of you in their mind. And that means that all points of contact and all touch points, yep, they have to be strong. All it takes is one weak one to start eroding that perception, if you started with a good perception, that is.
Right.
So it's that important. You know, it's that important. So yeah, all of our work is through that lens, Matt. And of course, it also speaks to customer experience.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. And that's been my working definition of a brand for well over a decade now, too. And I think I got it from Marty Neumeier's The Brand Gap, where he says your brand isn't what you say it is. It's what they say it is, they being your customers, they being the public, and they form that definition through the sum total of every interaction, every experience they have. And that's why I see that there's a strong tie with customer experience to your brand.
Yeah. And if you want to earn a place in the future, we have to live by that rule, right? That everything that we do, it has to be in service to that image that we're creating. And that is your brand. And I agree with Marty. It is what they say it is.
Now, you know, good news, every brand leader, they've got that opportunity. There's that opportunity to be able to influence what they say your brand is. And so the ideal situation is whatever you say it is matches what they say it is.
And that goes back to really being as one with your customer. You need to understand and invest in understanding. What are they thinking? They may only have some of the answers, but they have all of the money. I'm paraphrasing Sam Walton there, but that's something to remember. What are they thinking about? What are they thinking about? And how can we get to what they're really thinking about? Well, that's going to come through research, and we've got to capture that. It needs to be considered in the work that we're doing. Our own instincts are great, and we may even be the customer of our own brand. But you see a lot of these sophisticated organizations that have grown, and they've done it in one way by learning from those that matter most to their future.
When you've got a business that's in its infancy, a brand that's starting out, that it's trying to establish itself, and they're deciding and creating their business strategy, how should brand strategy tie to and relate to that business strategy when you're first starting out?
There was a time when there was a school of thought that you'd probably work on your business strategy and then get to your brand strategy. But what's really changed, and this is probably in the last 15 years, is those need to be done together. You're working on your brand strategy in its embryonic stages, the embryonic stages of its business. And that is really because you have to make sure you have a human side to the business. It's one thing to have this great product that does all these amazing things, but if you haven't considered that emotional connection that's going to pull people in and, let's just say, help them prefer your offering over someone else's, then that's where you're skipping a step. So it needs to be done right in the beginning. And brand strategy and business strategy, you know, business strategy is about models and how we're going to compete in the marketplace. To some degree, brand strategy is right there with it. And they're both deep work. It's not surface stuff. So for instance, in brand strategy, one of the things that we do is understanding the enemy of your brand. So the enemy is not your competition. That's what competes or conflicts with your purpose. Right. What is that thing out there? What's that dragon that if you slayed would make you the hero in the story, would make you the hero in the customer's eyes? You may, in business strategy, you may talk about pain points and think through it in those terms. Brand strategy, it's coming at it a little bit a different way. But that's important because I think sometimes you have to look at things just differently to then kind of get your idea shaped to a point where it's going to be able to be most competitive. But they really should be done together. It's that important.
Of course, I tend to agree, because otherwise you may get down the road, like you were talking about earlier, you may get down the road and realize that there were some steps that were missed, or there were some decisions that were made that were the wrong decision based on the new brand strategy now. So you've got to go back and redo a bunch of that.
Everything we're talking about, business and building brands and marketing, it all comes back to people. And the best brands are built from the inside out. So everybody on the inside of the organization knows what your brand's about. They know how to bring it to life. They know what their role is in bringing it to life. It becomes this connective tissue to the outside. And the outside, that's where your customers live. And ideally, you're in this place where the makers of the stuff are also the users of the stuff. And I think of Patagonia when I think about this, because they are so at one with their customers that their employees, I think it's every other Friday they have off, and they're out surfing, mountain climbing, kayaking. They're doing all the things that their customers are doing, because that's how the company was built. It was kind of for us, by us kind of things.
You know, and some of the best brands deliver an experience or have a brand that is built around empathy for their customers, truly understanding their customers. And one of the best ways to be able to have that empathy and understand your customers is to be just like your customer.
I mean, the customer is showing you a lot, right? They're showing you what they love, what they hate, showing you how you can build a strong bond with them. But sometimes we get caught up in what we want, on how we want to do it. It's not to say that doesn't work or can't work, because there are occasions that it does, but it's a hard road. You know, you got me thinking mad about this. So one example that comes up from time to time when we talk about brands.
Yeah. Who's that?
That's the United Airlines example, and somebody dragging a customer down the aisle. How come a brand like that can thrive, and why were all those seats sold out the next day? And that's the thing. That's the one thing that some brands are insulated from bad behavior, and that's because of utility. You're in so high demand, you can drag a customer down the aisle every day and you're still going to sell all the seats. It's one of those things that really frustrates us as marketers. And if you remember back to the response of the CEO, it was a very kind of, I don't care, we're selling the seats anyway. And it frustrates us because it takes a long time to build that kind of brand in the marketplace and yet to do things like that. But my point there is, there are exceptions to every rule, including building brands. There's anomalies like Yamaha. If I say, what do you think of Yamaha? You might say, oh, great motorcycles. Well, someone else will say the great keyboards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's different meanings. And maybe that kind of segues us into something else. And in my opinion, people aren't buying products, they buy meanings.
Right.
Things matter to them. That's really all that matters to them.
Yeah. And it's trying to figure out what that is and figure out that meaning that you can deliver, that meaning that you can give, that hopefully people are missing somewhere in their life. Once you've create your brand strategy, or once you've put that into the embryonic stage of your business strategy, how do you actually go about building your brand?
Great question, Matt. I want to back up to that embryonic stage. I like to think in these early embryonic stages that you want to think of that future state and then reverse engineer back. How can I get there? And one of the questions and one of the fundamental underpinning things is, how are we going to do this and build a strong emotional connection? And you can start by asking just this one question. If we could get our customer to feel just one thing, what would that be? Is it happiness? Is it confidence? Whatever is associated with your brand.
Yeah.
And then start there and say, how can we get them to feel that? And it's interesting because, and this is kind of going back since the entire time of my career, I don't see these questions being asked. It sounds kind of crazy, but it's not something that is top of mind for people that are building brands. It's specifically a question like that. And that is the key that unlocks everything, right?
Absolutely.
If I make you feel happy or satisfied or whatever it is, I have actually done something that is building this advantage and building that key relationship. That, Matt, I was going through Branding Strategy Insider for a call, and I came across this one thought here I wanted to share with you and your audience that I think it really makes sense from a customer experience perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the something called the peak end rule. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but psychologists have come to this point that the end of an experience is more memorable, which makes it more, in some ways, more important than a first impression. So we're always thinking about that first impression, which is very important. But how we end is a reflection of that experience. So we've got to be thinking about the end, don't we? We've got to be thinking about what that looks like, how we're going to get there.
Absolutely. And it's understanding, or number one, recognizing that there is an importance, there's a value around that last impression that you leave. And I think a lot of times I see a number of brands that make the mistake in defining the wrong end or the wrong place where they want to leave an impression. They think, oh, here's the customer journey, and here's what we say is the last interaction of that customer journey. So we're going to put that impression right there. And they forget, they don't realize that the customer journey actually has a number of steps that go beyond that. And they don't even think about whatever impression they want to leave in those steps.
Part of this is also understanding there's an employee journey too in delivering this promise and the two need to be aligned. What kind of punctuation mark are we adding to the end of this experience? The hope is that you're going to have thought this through in the beginning, so everything goes the way you'd hoped, or at least you have a shot at getting there. If you skip those early steps, you need to recalibrate your expectations, or someone needs to tell you, then it's not going to be the way you'd hoped. You've got to think it through first. I know I'm sounding like I'm getting paid by the word by saying that again.
No, well, I mean, it's those important lessons, those important things you have to do that honestly, they bear repeating. Like you have to repeat it so that it sinks in.
This journey, this never-ending journey to create this value, it all starts with getting those folks together that are responsible for helping create this thing and making sure everyone sees this the same way. Because that's also one of the things I see in the brand consulting work is you'll hear someone say, wow, I never knew you thought this way about something very critical. Just like a team, we got to huddle. We got to get together. We got to be talking about what that next play is going to be and then what we want to see for the outcome of the whole game. We got to be right there. And you can't do that too much. I think that's where things can start falling down when you're not connecting on something as important as your brand strategy, which leads to your customer experience and certainly that strategy. You got to reinforce that.
You do. And you've got to recognize that every functional area, every team, every employee plays a role in delivering on that experience. They play a role in building the brand in the customer's mind.
Yeah, every person even is a touch point, really. They're shaping these perceptions. You know, the thing about this also, Matt, just to, I'm sure your listeners know, but once we encode something in the mind, it's very hard to get people to change what they think about things.
Right.
Especially when it gets really bad, when things go bad. You could be in a situation where you may even have to change company's name. So that's another reason why you want to think it through early, so you don't get out in the market and get people to think about you in the wrong way. I worked with brands that didn't do the work until later on. And by that time, their competitor was already telling the market what they were about. They lost control of their story. So that can be a problem. The other thing is your story should be as powerful as your offering, your technology. That's another part of this whole brand conversation. What kind of story do we tell that is creating this customer experience and moving people closer to you and creating that emotional connection? It comes through in story. Story really is the glue that brings the customer closer to us and strengthens the bonds. So that's another part of marketing, which is so important to the outcomes that businesses are able to achieve or not achieve. You got to get it right. And you have to think about what does my customer need? And maybe perhaps what kind of stories, authentic stories, can we tell that bring them in? Oftentimes you may find that you have a lot of different storylines and you've got a lot of stories to tell. You should tell all of your stories. I wanted to insert that in there. Storytelling is key to the conversation. It's also kind of where our tactics live, right? To make brand strategy complete, you're going to have to consider that other piece. And I'm sure your audience knows that well.
It's storytelling that helps create that emotional connection in the customer's mind. It's the storytelling that helps them understand how their life will be better through this. And on the internal side too, I think it's storytelling that helps employees recognize what their role is and what they should be doing to make decisions and to take any actions that deliver on what the brand is all about.
For your listeners that are just thinking about, okay, I'm at that point where it's time to kind of roll up my sleeves and get to work. So the critical things to think through, let's think about who represents the most value. That's your target customer. You know, what motivates them? Then let's get into brand essence. That's the heart and soul of your brand, like Starbucks rewarding everyday moments or Nike authentic athletic performance. That's the lens you need to create that adjective now. You need to think through your brand promise. Only your brand delivers this, this, this. And here are the reasons to believe that. Then what's the enemy of your brand? What conflicts or competes with your purpose? Think about how you're going to compete. Are you going to outsmart competition? What are you going to do? And be very intentional about this. And then take that strategy work and look for ways to bring it to life. That's critical, Matt. And I know in listening to your other podcasts, every episode's very actionable. I wanted to make sure that ours was as well. So I'm hoping your listeners are getting something that they can use.
It's good to be able to have that roadmap to say, okay, what's next? Like, what are the things that I need to develop? Before we go, I've got one last question for you. If you were to create a 5-song playlist for your work, what songs would you include?
Well, Matt, I'm just going to say that the question didn't come as a surprise. I was prepared. And you know, there are songs that come to mind because I think for brand strategy, it's about focus, and the power of brands lies in focus. So when I think of 5 songs that speak to me about focus and this, the business world that we're in today, the first one I'm going to add is Believer by Imagine Dragons.
Oh,
you know, nice, you have to believe in something to stay committed to it. And if you're committed to something, you're going to focus on it. So that's one. Another is Eye of the Tiger, Survivor. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I did grow up in the 80s, and Eye of the Tiger, it is about going for it and going forward in the face of resistance, making things happen. And as marketers, our job is to compete. And that means making things happen. Another song that comes to mind is Hall of Fame by The Script featuring will.i.am. And Hall of Fame may not be as widely known, but that is a real inspirational song where it's about, we're going to do big things together. And it's going to be so big, we're going to be in the Hall of Fame, you know, the Hall of Fame of life. And we want our brands to make it too. And if we create enough value, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. 2 more. We Are the Champions by Queen. To me, this is like, okay, if we're going to be the champions, we need to know what that looks like and then reverse engineer, right, to get there. We got to know where we're going if we're going to have the endurance to like get there. You know, we got to know that. And as a brand, that means planning to get there. It's not going to happen by itself. And then lastly, My Way by Frank Sinatra. There are going to be times when people will tell you that that's not going to work. We don't do things like that. But My Way is, I think, the song of the entrepreneur, right? It's, we did it my way and look what happened. Even if I failed, did I really fail? I learned something. So those are my 5. I hope they inspire you, Matt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I love that all those songs together speak to that aspirational nature. It's like, okay, what do we want to be? What do we want to aspire to? And think through that, and here's how we'll get there. At the same time, it's also about having that focus and not giving into distractions, especially with My Way. It's not listening to people that are saying, no, you can't do this or can't do it this way, but also not paying attention to or having that, what, shiny object syndrome. You know what? I'm not going to pay attention to all distractions. I'm still focused on doing it my way. Love that. Yes, I'm inspired now. Well, Derek, I love our time together. I love our talks. I've loved our talk today, and I've learned a lot. But where can people go to learn more from you?
I think there's a couple of places. One, I encourage everyone to subscribe to BrandingStrategyInsider.com.
Yes.
That's a free resource. Thousands of thought pieces there. And then TheBlakeProject.com. That's my consultancy. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. And I'm happy to connect with people there. Easy to find, Derek Day, and I hope we'll meet there.
There you go. I will give a plug for Branding Strategy Insider. That's a resource that I've used long in my career for not since 2006, but not long after that, at least. And I love the fact that, like we were saying earlier, a lot of the lessons are still evergreen, still foundational. So digging deep, deep, deep into the library, you're still going to get stuff that's relevant and it's going to help you today.
Thank you for that, Matt. And thanks again for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here, Derek. Great seeing you.
You too.
I hope you enjoyed my discussion with Derek Day. You can learn more from him at brandingstrategyinsider.com. From customer experience to advertising to all things brand strategy and brand management, you'll find lots of articles to help you build and maintain a strong brand. And be sure and follow Derek on LinkedIn, where he's regularly sharing his brand strategy insights. If you're enjoying the Simple Brand podcast, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. It's going to make it so much simpler for you to get future episodes like the next one featuring Chris Wallace. When we want to better understand how to improve our customer experience, we tend to dive deep into customer data. But Chris shares an overlooked and untapped resource that can provide significant insight into your customers, and that's your frontline team members. So go ahead and subscribe. You'll automatically get Chris's episode as soon as it's live. Until then, keep it simple.